All right. Oh, yeah, you guys can hear me really well. Stephen's not feeling well, so they're going to be working on the sound. He's not feeling well. He was here last night and for some reason got sick between now and then. Several weeks ago, we started this series of messages on guardrails. And I've got an example of a guardrail up here. And we've talked about all these ideas about a guardrail. A guardrail is that system that they've set in place on our freeways, our highways, our bridges, the center dividers in the freeways and the roadways, to kind of keep us from hurting one another, to kind of keep us from hurting ourselves, keep us from running off that cliff or hitting somebody head on or falling off the bridge. They have these guardrails. And when they put a guardrail in, I want to make sure you understand, they don't put a guardrail where the disaster is. They put it 3 or 4 feet in the safe zone. Because they want you to hit the guardrail before you have the disaster. And so what we've been looking at, what I've been trying to share over the last few weeks is, what would it be like if we put the guardrails in other areas of our life besides our cars and our vehicles? What would it be like if we put some guardrails around our finances? What would it be like if we put some guardrails around our relationships? What would it be like if we put some guardrails around our dating, around our marriage, around our morality, around our ethics? What would it be like if we put some guardrails 3 or 4 feet inside the safe area before we run off that cliff and end up some way, maybe a financial disaster or a relationship disaster or a moral decision that's a disaster, that we had this guardrail that would stop us from getting too close? And so we've been looking at it. So I gave you a definition of a guardrail. And the guardrail is real simple. The guardrail is a personal-centered behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. It's yours. A guardrail is not necessarily, it's not a sin. See, a guardrail is not a sin. It keeps you from sinning. Yeah. And so it's personal because it's yours. It's what you set up. And I'm going to share some that I have, and I'm going to be asking you to think about some that you should have. Some of you, I've challenged you to have some of these. And so I just want to kind of look at this, and what are we going to do about these guardrails? And this morning, I'm going to approach a topic that we all agree there needs to be a guardrail around, but just where that guardrail is a major discussion. Where do we put that guardrail in our lives around this topic of sex? Where do we put that, whether you're married or you're not married, whether you're dating or you're getting ready to date? Where do you put a guardrail around this idea, this activity that we call sex? How do we do that? Where does that go? I've heard people, and as we're going to go through the messages, I've heard people tell me, well, I'd never do that. I would never have an affair. I'm not going to have sex till I get married. I had people tell me that, and then the next 6 months, a year later, it's like I'm in trouble. I would never do. Have you ever seen anything like that? Maybe not about sex, all right? But have you ever seen, I would never do that, and 3 months later you're going, what did I do? What was I thinking? And what I'm going to share, and what I want you to know, these guardrails just don't happen. You got to put them up. You got to establish them. You got to lay them out. Have you ever drove, and I shared this last week, have you ever drove around a mountainside, or you drove it over a river, or you drove across a bridge? I go across a little bridge over here, and there's no railing on it. You ever feel a little uncomfortable? Yeah. Go across one of these canals over here. I'm out in the country driving across one of the canals on one of the back roads, and there's no bridge on that canal, and there's the canal right there, and there's no bridge. But we go through life without these guardrails, and we wonder why we crash and burn. And what happened? So I want to encourage you to get your outline out and kind of follow along with me this morning as we kind of look at this idea about sex and how does it go, and why, and what's happening, and why it happens, and what we can do about it. Because, see, the problem is we like living on the edge. Some of the people tell me when I'm up here that they always think I'm going to fall off because I like getting close to the edge. I do. I want to be on the edge. I like taking risk in life. Most of us like that. We like living on the edge. How many of us live on the edge financially almost all the time? It's like, you know, the money runs out before the month's over. Anybody been in that boat? Yeah, we like living on this edge, and it's kind of that. Well, that scary part makes it exciting. It makes it kind of thrilling, and we like living there, and we, you know, it's like, wait a minute. I had a conversation one time. I was at a conference, and the guy just got done talking about sex to the teenagers. And we were back in the room, and we're kind of talking about, I'm kind of asking here what they think about it. What do they think about the conversation and all the things that were going on? And the guy goes, yeah, I agree with everything he's saying, but, you know, we're smart. We're smarter than that. It's not going to happen because we're smart. And I looked at the young man, and I go, you ever seen a smart teenage girl pregnant? It's like, yeah. Well, I'm gonna it takes more than smarts. It takes guardrails. It takes more than good intentions. It takes guardrails. And I just want to encourage us there, because we need some guardrails in life. There's a lot of things we can recover from in life. You know, if I make a bad decision financially, I can recover from that, given time, given a length of time. You know, maybe I have to file for bankruptcy, short sell a house, drive an old beat-up car, whatever it is. I can make some arrangements. If I make a bad decision financially, I can make some arrangements, and I can get through that. I can recover from that. I take a class in college. I take a class at school, and I fail a test. I can go to the teacher. I can talk to the teacher. We can make some arrangements, get some extra credit, do some extra work, and I can work it out, and I can recover from that. You know, I miss something at work, and I could go to the boss, and I can arrange. Or I lose my job. I can find another job. I can recover from most of that. But I'm going to tell you one thing that's hard to recover from, and most of the time we don't, is sex. Those poor decisions, those sexual immoral decisions that we make, we don't recover from those. There's guilt that we carry the rest of our lives. There's STDs that we carry. There's rumors. There's memories. There's this lack of intimacy in a marriage relationship that we carry these kind of things with us. And we can recover from a lot of things, but when it comes to sex, you just don't recover from that. And so that's why it's really hard. And, you know, I look at this metal guardrail. We need to think, how big of a guardrail do we need, and what kind of a guardrail do we need in our sex life? Now, I'm not just talking about the physical thing of sex. I'm talking about even those head things that go on, all right? It's not just, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's a thing I call emotional adultery. It has nothing to do with physical stuff. It's just you checked out emotionally. And we need these guardrails. We need these solid wrought iron steel girders in this area. And what's interesting is society knows it. They always go to the Supreme Court trying to figure it out. I don't have to go to the Supreme Court to figure it out. I got a scripture we're going to look at in a minute that got it all figured out for me. I don't need the Supreme Court deciding. Because I'm going to tell you, if we can make a decision in this area right here, if we can make a decision about sexual morality in our lives and about its role and about the boundaries and about a guardrail, it can change everything in our country. It can change poverty in our country. It can change the health care. We're arguing about health care right now. It can change health care in our country. It can change this debate on abortion and right and wrong, pro-life. It can change that conversation. It can change the prisons in America. It can change the life of little children getting tucked in by mama and daddy together. See, if we talk about this topic, and I think one of the tragedies I've seen is this, that the church surrendered this years ago. And we just never talked about sex. I remember when I came to this church, there was a teacher in our class, and whenever the Sunday school lesson came to sex, he wouldn't show up. It's just like, But it's a topic we need to understand, that it can change things. And above all, it can change our lives. And so I'm going to really lay out some things, and some of you this morning are going to go, man, you're just that crazy preacher. What do you expect a preacher to say? You're one of those conservatives. You're like one of those Old Testament prophets out there just ranting and raving, you know, hair flying out, you know, looks like flames. Yeah. That's what you're going to think, though. He's not with it today. You know, he doesn't understand the world today. He doesn't get what's going on today. He doesn't understand. You know what I read this week? I couldn't believe this, that if you don't have sex, you really haven't had a date. I was reading that some are saying that if you had a date and you went out on a date and you didn't have sex, it really wasn't a date. I remember when I was growing up, if you didn't kiss, was it, were we going to kiss on the first date or not? That was the discussion when I was growing up. Now I'm reading it saying, if you don't have sex on your first date, then you really didn't have a date. It doesn't count. Maybe I'm not hip. And maybe I'm not with it. Maybe I don't understand the world. But what I do understand is poverty, broken homes, memories, setting and counseling situations with people just bawling and crying and hurting because of decisions, because they didn't have some guardrails. And I want us to think about that this morning. Now, you might be here, and you might be one of those saying, it's not going to happen. Well, I'm going to ask you, what are you doing to make sure it doesn't happen? You need to know, as I go through this message, I've had this conversation with Lord, not about this message, but about this topic. Not just once, not just twice. But we've talked about these kind of guardrails we're going to talk about. We've discussed this. From the time we got married, I remember in college, and I'll share a story about college later. So I want us to think about this. What does God's word say, and how does this balance out? Because see, you know what? If you cross this boundary, when you crash and burn, and you're on this side, and you're wondering what happened, it's not going to be a laughing matter. You know, we're going to have a lot of stories in our later years that, you know, as we go by. And we just laugh about, oh, remember when I did that stupid, you talk about that stupid stunt you did, you know, or that dumb thing you did, and you're laughing about it. But when it comes to sex, there's really not much laughing that happens. It's something that you carry, and it's something that you're with, and it builds regrets, and it builds those hurts in our lives, and you carry it all your life. But I want you to look at what it says here in this scripture. Yes, it's radical. Yes, it may be extreme, but if you really want a wonderful, enjoyable, abundant life and a marriage, this is what you need. Look at what it says. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Flee from sexual immorality. Circle that word, flee, all right? Flee from sexual, you know, we've been looking at several passages. If you remember, the first message in the series talked about, and the challenge was, be careful. Be careful. Be careful with how you drink. Be careful with this decision. Be careful. That was kind of the first message. Last week it was be wise. Be wise with who you choose to be your friends. If you choose friends who are foolish, not only are you going to be foolish, you're going to get hurt. But he comes to talk about this topic on sex, and Paul gets here, and he doesn't say be careful. He doesn't say be wise. He doesn't say watch out. He says flee. Now, what does flee mean? Is that the little bug on a dog? You know, what does flee mean? Well, here's the definition. Flee. I love this. To avoid doing something with evident purpose of an attempt to avoid danger, i.e. to flee, take flight, escape, run away. Here's what he's saying. With this idea of sex immorality, run away. Escape. Don't dawdle. Don't crawl. Don't play. Run. What does that mean? Run. That means, I'm leaving. No, it means you run. I'm telling you, when that page pops up on the internet, you run from that computer. All right? Come on now. You know? Now you don't even need your computer. When that page comes on that phone, you get that message and then, run. I'm serious. Run. Do you have a guardrail? I'm not talking about play around, dawdle. Second thoughts, am I sure what I seen? I better double check that. You know, maybe I didn't see it right. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that. If it's the first interpretation, run. I'm going to tell you, sex will kill you, not just STDs. We think God put this in. I'm going to tell you, who created sex? You think sex is bad? Did God create anything bad? I don't know about you, but I think sex is pretty good. I don't know about you guys. You know? God created it. And it's in the right place, in the right form, in the right relationship. It's an amazing thing that pulls two people together. It says two become one. We need to understand. We got to escape. I think that's another good word in that definition. To escape. We can become prisoners and a slave to sin. You ever hear that conversation? Because the Bible talks about being a slave to sin. We're going to see that as we go through this passage and see what he's talking about. We need to kind of step back and see this. We need to flee. See, our society knows there's a boundary somewhere. There's a guardrail somewhere. They just can't decide where to put it. So we go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, you know, where do we put it? I mean, when you can go to the library, at the county library, I don't know about our county library because I've never tried to see what their rules are, but I've seen that on the newspapers at other states. Guys are surfing porn at the county library, and the court says that's okay. Where do we put this rail? You know, where's that disaster? Is it hardcore, softcore? Is it, I don't know. Let's play a game. We're going to play the game cold and hot. Am I cold? Is that sex? Let's define sex. Is sex, we got to define is first. Let's define sex. Am I getting warm yet? Yeah, you're getting warmer. You know, where are we going to put this? How do we define this? And Paul sits here and he says, you know, you just got to flee. But our society wrestles with this. Think about this. Go to the mall and walk around the mall and look at the posters in some of the stores. Years ago, that would have been pornography. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You walk in and it's like, oh, I won't even go into some of those stores. You need to know that. And the last time I walked down the mall, I'm walking down the upstairs mall, I'm just looking at the stores and it's like, this is absolutely. And then we wonder why these teenage girls get pregnant. Duh. You know what I think is interesting? Some of the clothes that they wear today would have been the clothes that when I was growing up, if somebody wore that, I would think they were a hooker. Anybody? You know, some of the clothes these kids, to wear. Let's not talk about the girls. Let's talk about these guys who wear their pants around their knees. Yeah. I never thought about showing my underwear. I don't get it. Where are we going to put this rail? We got freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And then we wonder, you know, society sets here and sets, well, we really don't have any boundaries. We don't know where we're going to put a guardrail. Everyone knows there's somewhere there should be a guardrail. We just don't know where it's at. And then some girl gets pregnant and we go, oh, that girl's dumb. What was her family thinking? Where's the guardrail? I mean, I look at this stuff and it's kind of like, how do we deal with this? You know, flee, run, go the other way. Don't hang out there. Don't be a part of that. It's real simple. I'm going to tell you. Flee what? Flee the internet. Flee Facebook. Flee Twitter. Is it Twitter or tweet? I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah. I don't know what's going to be next, you know? Text messaging. I mean, we need to think about all that. Where's that boundary? I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I do not think you can be friends with somebody of the opposite sex and be really, really close friends. I think you can be acquaintances. I think you can have some relationship, but you can't be that close. I just don't think it works. I've just never seen it work. There's always something there. Where's that guardrail? Where's how are we going to deal with this, and how do we make it work? Just go to the mall. Just look around. And then it surprises us when somebody does something. See, that's what society does. Society says, don't worry about the guardrail. Don't worry. You just go, just go, just go. And then when you crash and burn, they're going, wow, how stupid were you? Is that what society does? Yeah. Didn't you see that coming? Well, you told me it was okay. Well, didn't you see it coming? Well, you told me it was okay. Well, it's your fault. See, we need to step back and flee and understand that we can't hang around there and be a part of this. Flee sexual immorality. You are not your own. Let's look at some more of this passage here. Look at how Paul goes on. Look at what Paul says next. Oh, I like that. Wait, go ahead. It says, we don't flee, we flirt. I like that. When I found that, I go, I got to use that one. We flirt. I don't know where I was reading. I love reading stuff. And, you know, they go, girls, when they flip their hair, that's a flirt. That's what somebody told me. You know, just flip your hair and that just kind of draws a guy's attention. You know, now we got these pheromones or what do they call those things? I don't know. You know, that's just Axe. I see the commercial. Is it Axe, the commercial? Come on, somebody help me out there. You know, spray that stuff on, the girls swamp all over you. That's what the commercial says. And then we wonder when somebody gets in trouble, we're sitting there going, stupid, and yet we show this commercial and go, well, duh. See, we don't have a guardrail. We don't know where to put this guardrail. Well, God tells us where to put it. Flee. Made it real simple. Real easy. Flee. But we flirt with it. We like getting on the edge. Just how close can I get? What is sin? What is sex? I mean, is it the activity? Is it, when I was growing up, there's heavy petting and there's light petting and, you know, where is that line at? We had guys, you know, take your Bible when you go. We always went to the drive-in theater. You put the Bible between you and your date at the drive-in theater. There's my guardrail. Where's this line in, you know, kissing on the first date? And then I read this week, and I'm sitting there going, am I reading this? I had to read this 4 or 5 times. That if you go on a date and you have no sex, it really wasn't a date. I'm going, did I read that right? See, we flirt with disaster, and then when we crash and burn, and society says, oh, it's okay, it's okay. Oh, now you blew it. We got sex, we got marriage, affairs, divorce. And then we wonder, see, we flirt with it. We don't flee, we flirt with it. Well, I didn't say anything bad. I didn't say anything wrong. I don't know how he took it that way. You know, and we wonder what happened. See, we flirt with it. What's this next scripture? Look at what it says. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Your body is a temple of God. That our body belongs to God. Your body is a temple. I don't know about you, but you get up in the morning, you look at it and say, boy, I got a beautiful temple. Yeah. Matter of fact, mine's growing this week. Yeah. I got an enlarging temple. That's what this verse says. My body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. Now, when you use somebody's stuff, you're going to borrow somebody's car. You're going to borrow, let's say you're going to borrow a friend's car. Maybe they got a really nice convertible white car. And you're going to borrow a car. And you're going to drive it to L.A. and take care of it for them. Now, are you going to take really good care of that car or what? Are you just, you know, you're going to borrow somebody's car. When you bring it back, you're going to wash it, fill it up with gas, and return it in the same condition you got it, right? Do we treat our bodies that way that belongs to God? I hope you wash it all the time, please. All right? Do at least that much. All right? But do you treat your body like it belongs to God? Do you honor your body like it belongs to God? Would you use God's body that way? See, that's what that verse says. You're the temple. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God's living in you. See, when you cross that line and you become a Christian, you know, you hear me say this all the time as pastor of the church, that you got to reach a point in your life where you say something along the lines of this. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. That's what we call being a Christian. You've asked Jesus to come into your life to take control. And when you cross that line, when you pray a prayer like that, God gives you the Holy Spirit. He lives in you now. Not a part of God, not a piece of God, but God lives in you. And so now your body is the temple of God. Are you using your body as a temple? Are you treating it as a temple? See, I think that's a challenge for us. You know, and when we come to this guardrail of sex and this guardrail, how it belongs to God and how it happens, are we giving it to God? Paul goes on. Look at what else he says as he goes on. For we were bought with a price. Anybody know what that involves? Jesus Christ died. So glorify God in your body. See, here's the picture that Paul is painting here. That we are sinners. And we are addicted to sinful nature. My body, my ideas, my thoughts, my life doesn't always make the right choices. But God comes in and he purchases me from that. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer in bondage to sin. I'm no longer addicted to sin. I have been set free. God paid the price through Jesus Christ. I am free from sin now. Then why do I let it take advantage of me? Why do I slip? Why do I fall? We need to wrestle with this, and that's why we need guardrails. We need something to keep us on the right side, something to keep us in the right place. See, the Spirit leads in us. And when you're wrestling with that decision, I love this passage, because when you're wrestling with that, you ever try to wrestle, well, should I, shouldn't I, maybe, maybe not, and you wrestle with these kind of decisions, here's the best answer. Will it glorify God? I think it makes it real simple. You know, should I, shouldn't I, should I go here, should I make this decision, should I allow him, should I allow her, should I, will it glorify God or will it not? Will it acknowledge God or will it not? See, I think that really is the question we need to ask. Is it dishonoring to God? And how does it play out and how does it work? So what I want to do this morning is I'm going to show you and share with you 5, 6, 7 things about fleeing. I want to share with you some guardrails. I want you to stay on the safe zone, all right? I want you on this side. Whether you're dating or whether you're married, whether you want to get married or you never want to get married, whatever it is, I want you to stay on the safe side. I don't want you over here. Now, it's going to be 5 or 6 feet in the safe zone, okay? That's all right. You want to be over here. You know, I want to put this rail, you know, really, I want to put the rail way back here so I don't even get close to that edge. And so I just want to name 4 or 5 things. I want you to think about these. Now, maybe you've been here saying, well, that's that crazy preacher. Yeah, I am crazy. I'm more than willing to say. You know, maybe I'm extreme. But I want to tell you something. Some of these things, maybe you've even made your mind up. Maybe you haven't told anybody. Maybe I pretty much guarantee you probably have some friends that said some of these things and had these deals made in themselves, but they never told you because everybody said, oh, you're crazy. Yeah, you're just one of those religious fanatics. You know, you're just that extreme over there. You know, if you got to do those kind of things, and I've had people tell me, Christian people tell me that, oh, I don't need those. I'm going to tell you, if you don't make it, you have the chance of falling into it. Because I want to, here's the deal I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to make a decision this morning. Now, you're either going to say, yes, I'm going to do some of these things, or no. And maybe you're going to say this, I'm going to wait. If you're waiting, you're saying no. All right? But you need to make some decisions. Because if you decide not to decide, you made a decision. And here's the problem. Let me tell you the problem as we get into this morning in these areas right here. First of all, as I go through these, you're going to go, man, that is right. I hope my wife's listening to this. I hope my husband's listening to this. I hope my boyfriend, my girlfriend's listening to this. Man, that is right. You know, it's good for them. They need to hear this, but for me, it's different. I got a word for that. It's called hypocrisy, okay? But as I go through this, I'm sure you're going to think, oh, man, if my friend would have had this, if my friend would have did this, they would never do it. But I don't need to do that. I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to let that happen to me. That would never happen to me. See, I want you to think about this way. Because, see, we'll be hypocrites. You know, it's like, yeah, it's good for my wife. It's good for my kid. I'm glad my child is here. I'm glad my son. I'm glad my daughter is here. I'm glad they're hearing this crazy preacher tell them this because they need to hear this. They need to hear this. You know, my spouse needs to hear this. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you. Second thing I want you to know as we get ready to share these ideas is, let's say I've shared these with you this morning. You've looked at them. You just kind of blew them off. Now we're 6 months down the road. We're a year down the road. We're 2 years down the road. We're 3 years down the road. And all of a sudden, maybe you're not married and you're pregnant. Maybe you're on the verge of being discovered on some internet issues that you wish weren't there. Or maybe there's a relationship problem. Maybe you've been having an affair, and now all of a sudden you're about to be discovered. It's about all to come out, and you're sitting there. How many of us would start praying, God, you got to help me. God, I'm in trouble. God, can you erase all that stuff on my internet, on my computer? God, can you delete all those evil? God, I'll serve you. I'll go to church every Sunday the rest of my life, God. I'll join one of those small groups the preacher talks about all the time, God. Just don't let me get caught, God. Don't let this be true, God. Let me have my period, God. Let me, God. How many of us, when we get in trouble, do something like that? You know, we're right on the verge of somebody discovering all this trash in our life. We're going to sit there and pray. And God's going to say, well, if you would have listened 6 months ago, you wouldn't be here. And see, if you're going to think about it, well, I would be praying for God to help me, but I'm not going to put these boundaries in. Good luck. Because that's going to be what you need. You're going to need luck because that's what it is. It's not God. If the computer crashed, it'd be luck, not God that took it away. You know, all that trail of your history and those pages, you know, all those conversations. See, if it's good enough, you need to think about this day. So here's five things. If you're married, I want to lay out five things real quick for you. And it's up to you. This is your opportunity. They're check boxes because you might want to check these off. All right? Don't travel alone with members of the opposite sex. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting in the car with somebody of the opposite sex. You're on the safe side. There is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing going to happen. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to protect your life, you want to protect your marriage, then you don't get in the car with someone of the opposite sex. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it happens. Matter of fact, we were joking this week because it happened to me this week. Yeah. We're working the fireworks booth, and I needed to run and get something, and so I got in the car, and we drove somewhere, drove right back. But we talked about this as we drove. It's like, because we were uncomfortable because I was bumping against my railing. I was hitting my railing. It's like, I was hitting it. And my mind was going, and my conscience was going, Gary, Laura knew where I was. Laura knew what was happening. You know? So, but I was still bumping my railing, and I was going, we were talking. It's like, And we talked about it. But I have this railing. I will not ride. I've shared this with you. I'm not going to ride in a car with somebody of the opposite sex. Now, there are things that happen, all right? Like I said, I'd make my wife notes. But don't ride around, don't get in a car, don't travel around, don't go on trips with somebody of the opposite sex, even if it's for business. I've shared here, I told you, I'm on the school board, I'm not getting in the car with our superintendent. She's a woman. Now, if there's a car full of us, the whole school board, there's five of us, then okay. But I'm not going to be in the car by myself with my superintendent. Nothing's going to happen. I have no intentions there. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to make sure nothing happens, all right? I've got a guardrail. So don't travel with somebody else. If you're going to make that commitment, put a check mark. If you're not, don't worry about it. I'll be there to help pick the pieces up when you're ready, okay? Call me anytime. Number two, don't eat alone with members of the opposite sex. We're just having coffee. It's break time at work. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to bother us. Nothing's going to happen. We're just having lunch together at work. But here's what happens. You have lunch together and you have these conversations and things begin to develop and things go on. It's like, well, hey, let's have dinner. We're going to work late tonight. I'm not going to be able to get home. Let's have dinner together. Now you had lunch. Now you had dinner. What's next? It just keeps going. Ding, 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 ding. Don't eat alone with somebody of the opposite sex, period. I don't care if it's at work. I don't care if they want to make you. Don't do it. I won't do that. I will not have dinner, lunch, coffee, anything with somebody of the opposite sex unless my wife is there. That's just it, period. That's a guardrail. Now, is that a sin? No. That's not a sin. Didn't do anything wrong. That's 5 feet in the safe zone before I reach the cliff. You see why that's a good idea? Number three, don't hire cute members of the opposite sex because you want to help them. What I'm basically saying, most of us don't have businesses to hire, but if you do, be careful here. Here's what I'm going to put. You might want to write this here. I was trying to figure out how to write this in. Listen to your spouse. All right? Listen to your spouse. I'm going to tell you, as a guy, I'm not keen on women flirtation kind of things. All right? I'm going to tell you, guys, your wife knows when a woman's flirting. She knows the signs and the signals that other women send out. If Laura tells me something about somebody, I listen. I pay attention. I shared with you when I was in college, that girl that sat behind me, I shared that story with you. I had no idea this girl liked me. No idea. She knew I was married. Come on. You know, I have one-track mind then. I was going to school. Laura was even second class back then. Come to find out, she liked me. Laura said, that girl liked me. No way. 6 years later, we find out, yeah, she did. We need to pay attention here. Don't hire, you know, well, I'm just going to help them out. Help out the ugly one. Now, I don't know who's ugly. All right. I don't know what that classifies, but maybe I shouldn't have said that. All right. What's number four? Don't confide or counsel members of the opposite sex. I can tell you, this is one of the big ones. How many stories I've heard where it started right here? You're talking about your marriage to somebody else of the opposite sex. Don't do it. Period. Now, again, it's not sin, but it's stupid. All right? I've had many people come and tell me this is how their affair began right here. They begin talking, you know, and talk about, oh, man, my husband, oh, my wife, and my wife, too, and my husband, you know, and all of a sudden you find, oh, man, you know, nobody listens to me like you listen to me. Nobody understands me like you understand me. Ooh. Yeah. And pretty soon, guess what? Man, you know, we're just so much in common. We're just friends. We're just friends with benefits now. Isn't that what they call it? Yeah. We're dating by today's terms, having sex, yeah. But it started with that. Had a pastor friend share his story, real simple story. You know, as pastors, we do counseling, and I'm really careful in this area, and Lord knows that we talk about it. My office is open. I've had times when a young teenage girl wanted to talk. I sat on the steps in front of the church. I didn't even go in the building. We sat out in front of the church so we could talk. Because we're not going to sit, even though we're sitting in a room in the church, But I had a pastor friend of mine, he said this is where it began for him. He had an affair with a young lady in his church, produced from a counseling situation. And he goes, here's where I made my mistake. I made my mistake when she was crying in the first meeting. When I got up, grabbed the Kleenexes off my desk, went over, sat down next to her, put my arm on her shoulder, gave her a Kleenex and said, we're going to get through this. He says, that's where I made my mistake. That was where I crossed the guardrail. I gave her a Kleenex and sat next to her, put my hand on her shoulder and said, we're going to get through this. See, we got to watch that. Don't talk to somebody else about your marriage. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If you got problems in your marriage, go see a counselor and talk to your spouse, okay? Don't have to talk to anybody else. Talk to him. Talk to her. I guarantee you, I'll give you something. You know what? If you guys talk, more than likely, you can solve the problem. If it's that bad, you can see a counselor, and they can help you solve the problem. Don't give up on the marriage. Don't talk to somebody else. Don't confide in anyone else. Talk to them. All right? But also, let me give you this idea here. This is real important. You hear me as your pastor of this church. I say this over and over and over again. You've heard this. You need three things in your life. If you're going to survive in the world today, you're going to survive this world, you need three things. You need a church that you can fellowship with and teach the Word of God. You need a small group of people that are going to support you and walk with you and be there with you in your life. And you need somebody you can confide in, somebody who can tell you the hard things. That's who you talk to. And it's not somebody of the opposite sex. See, I'm kind of consistent with what I teach here as your pastor. I hope you see that. It all fits together. It all comes together. Don't confide and don't counsel members of the opposite sex. Number five, last one. When you feel your heart drifting towards a specific person, tell someone. When you feel not that you're having feelings, but it's just, if I'm uneasy in a situation, I tell Laura. I've even called Laura. Excuse me for a minute. I got to go make a phone call. I've even called Laura and conversed with Laura. Laura, Some of them here in the church know some of the things and some of the situations. It's like we have worship practice on Saturday night, and some of our ladies stay, and they're just singing, and all of a sudden it's just some of the other guys that are leaving, some of the worship team is leaving. It's just going to leave one woman and me here. I've called Laura. Laura, you got to get down here. I have. You can ask the worship team. Some of them will tell you. I've called Laura, and Laura had to come down. I had one of them, Stephen, the other day, there was a situation arising. Everybody's getting ready to leave. Stephen was about ready to leave, and he's going to leave me and another woman here. And as Stephen goes, I'm going to wait. Because Stephen knew if he was walking out, I was going to call my wife. So Stephen stayed around a little longer. Because I've got a guardrail. Now, what I want to tell you is this. If you want to look at these, and I pray you put a check mark, guys, women here. If you're married, I pray you put a check mark by every one of these. Then I want you to have a conversation about these on your way home. I want you to have a conversation about these at lunchtime today. Have a conversation with your kids sitting right there so they hear you talk about this. Because you want your kids to know this marriage is going to last. We're going to have some boundaries. We're going to have some guardrails. Because we're going to have a relationship that we want you to have in your lives too. So you need to have this conversation. You need to talk about these kind of things. I'm going to make this real simple. You want a one-of-a-kind marriage, then this is what you need to do. You want a marriage that's going to last for eternity, then this is what you need to do. You need to set up some guardrails. Now, you may say I'm extreme. Okay, I'll volunteer. You may say, well, you're on yourself. You think you're so hot, you're afraid to be around women. Well, that could be true. I don't know. Ain't no woman ever thrown herself at me, so I guess I'm hurting. Lord, don't even. But I'm going to have these guardrails. I'm not only going to say it's not going to happen, I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen. Does that make sense? Good intentions don't cover this. Nobody gets married. Nobody stands there with their spouse. They're getting married. The guy's sitting there reading, and he's in his mind. He's going, oh, I can't wait to get this over with. Man, I'm going to go out and have an affair next week. You know? Oh, do you see your maid of honor? Ooh, yeah. You know, he doesn't think that. I mean, nobody's thinking that when they're getting married. But 5 years down the road, see, I had good intentions. I never intended this to happen. I didn't want this. But you didn't have a guardrail. And all of a sudden, you're crashed, you're rolling down the hill, and you're burning, and you're praying, God, can you delete those emails? God, can you erase my Facebook page so nobody sees? God, can you get rid of those tweets? God, can you destroy that hard disk so nobody knows where I've been? See, if you put the guardrail, you don't have to worry. You're going to bump into it, and that's okay. I did this last week. I bumped into it. But we had a conversation about it. My conscience was saying, Gary, pay attention to what you're doing. And that's good. Now, what happens if you're single? Here you go. If you're single, here's a simple thing. Anybody here single? Raise your hand. Okay. Gouge your eyes out. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, guide your eyes out. If they're going to offend you, guide your eyes out. Gouge your eyes out. That's what it says. Now, I don't know quite how to apply. I'm a preacher, and I still don't know how that really works in God's Word. So I'm not saying do that, all right? But here's what you can do. Just apply the married people's guidelines to your relationships with married people. If you're single, don't get in a car with a married guy. Well, he's married, not me. You're a woman, right? That's all it takes. Whatever those rules, don't just apply these to your life. I've never forgot this. When we first moved to Salida, we were living on the east side of Modesto. And Laura had left, and I had the little kids outside, and they were, you know, this is 28 years ago, so you know they were little. You know, Jennifer was like five, Amanda's like four, and Jeremiah wasn't here yet, whatever their ages were. But I'm standing out there, and one of the neighbors comes down with her kids, and they start playing together. And this neighbor, she starts telling me all about her husband and his lack of performance. And I'm just, all right, hey, we're going in the house. I called the kids. I went in the house. Laura was shopping somewhere, and it's like, I ain't standing out here listening to this. Yeah, her husband was a cop, and I could, you know, I sit out there as quick as I could get away. I got away. It wasn't long. I got the kids in it. Whatever, you know. Married, just have the same rules. Here's this next one. Look at this next one. No sleepovers. Is that pretty plain? No sleepovers. All right. Well, we got an extra room. It don't work. Don't do that. You're setting yourself up for trouble. You need to understand these guardrails. So, married, singles, you need to have some guardrails. You need to put these up. You'll never, let me say it this way. If you set up these guardrails, you'll never regret it. If you set up these guardrails, you will never regret it. If you don't set these guardrails up, you may have some regrets. You may have some regrets. You have to decide. You have to make your mind up. This is my commitment. Listen, and it's not just about your future spouse and your spouse and your mate, because we need to understand these are the principles. You will carry this with you your whole life. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I look at our society and I look at people, and in my position as a pastor, I have people come and tell me heart-wrenching stories. You need to tune in to that spouse of yours, that they're the only one for you. I should have had the song For Your Eyes Only, but I didn't. I got another song, and I got a video I want you to watch. They're getting ready to start it in just a minute. The lights are going to go dim. I want you to watch this video. This is me. This is my heart. This is my wife. This is Laura. Thank you. White shoes. I like the white shoes. That's our honeymoon. That's Jennifer. There ain't no woman like the one I've got. Do you have that for your spouse? Do you? Hopefully, if it's a man, it ain't no man like the one you got, okay? Yeah. Do you? If you do, you need to have a guardrail. If that's what you want in the future, if that's what you want for your marriage in the future, if that's what you want for your spouse in the future, set up a guardrail. There ain't no woman like the one I got. I don't always treat her the way she deserves it. I really don't. I am not the greatest or the best. I wish I was better. I don't know. But you know what? She's a blessing from God to me. And I'm going to honor her by honoring God with my body. I'm going to be true to her with who God created in me. That's my commitment to her. Good, bad, indifferent. She stuck with me. She's going to have me. Because we're going to fight through this. Marriage is not the easiest thing. But when you throw other relationships in there, affairs and tweets and Facebook, it makes it hard. I think marriage is really hard in today's world. It really is. It's tough to deal with the stuff of this world. It makes it so easy. Because see, they don't have guardrails. They don't have any boundaries. You know? They can't even decide. The Supreme Court, they can't even decide where a boundary should be. But God says, flee sexual immorality. Will you set up some guardrails? Do you have some things? Maybe for your spouse. Maybe for your future spouse. Maybe for your children. You know, if you want these for your kids and you want this for your spouse, shouldn't you have them for you? Wouldn't they be good for you? The bottom of the page, I put it real simple. Flee sexual immorality. How? Guardrails. It's that simple. I gave you 5. You might need to have more. I don't know. Like I said, I take the door off my office. You walk down the hall, you can look into my office. You can see my computer from there. I'm not going to go to any of these sites. I guard my computer by guarding my sites. But you don't have, I'm going to be honest, you don't have to even go to the sites. They have those flash things that come up on the site, those advertisement bars. I get this survey all the time that says, is it okay, do you think it's an invasion of privacy to track your cookies in a computer so they know where you're visiting, the sites you're visiting? I say no. It's okay to do that. Because I'd rather have them flash sites that I'm interested in than the trash that I would not want to see. Because you know what they flash over there on mine most of the time now? Disneyland and stuff like that. Christian books. That's what they flash on mine. Although every once in a while you get these girls and they lose weight. You always got to have a girl that says lose weight. Weighs about 90 pounds. Wind blows, they blow away. Will you make some guardrails? Maybe, here's what I want to say here. Maybe you've already failed in some way. Maybe you didn't have some guardrails and you've crashed and burned. I want to tell you what's so great about God, that God is a God of grace and mercy. God is a God of second chances. And if you've crashed and burned and you're hurting and you're suffering, I want to tell you, God's sitting with his arms wide open. When Jesus died on the cross, his arms were like that. You know why? Because he's loving you. He wants to put his arms around you. If you've crashed and burned, I want to tell you, God wants to receive you. God wants to comfort you. Maybe you got some memories. Maybe you got some heartaches. Maybe you got some regrets. I want to tell you, just take it to God. And let God carry those for you. Maybe you don't want them. Will you commit to some guardrails? Will you commit to some things in your life that says, I not only don't want this to happen, I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen by doing some guardrails. Will you guard your marriage? Will you guard your future marriage? Will you put some guardrails? Because God says this, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he wants. When he says flee, he's not saying, hey, I want you to miss this good stuff. He said, I want you to have this good stuff in a loving, caring, intimate relationship. Will you take it that way? Let's pray. God, I just thank you that you care and you love us. You love us so much. You've taught us the truth about sex. It's not just the physical thing that we do. That there's an intimacy, Lord, that two become one. And the world has twisted it. And Satan has made it something dirty. But you want to be something of joy and peace. Lord, I pray for all of us that we'll put guardrails. Lord, that we'll establish some things, whether we're single or married, that will make for lasting marriages. That will give us one-of-a-kind relationships with our spouse. That will bless us. And bring joy to us and be an example for those who come after us. Lord, I pray for every single person here. Lord, as they battle through this world that seems to have no standards, that seems to think everything is okay, I pray that you'll give them guardrails. Guard their hearts, their minds, their behavior. Lord, that you will guide them in the right directions. That when they find that person to spend the rest of their life with, that you will bless that as a one-of-a-kind relationship. I pray for us who are married, Lord, for us who've already crossed that threshold of marriage, that we'll guard our hearts and our minds. Whether it's internet or whether it's at work or whether it's this girl or that man or that situation, Lord, that you'll guard our lives and help us be committed to the one you blessed us with, to the one you called along beside of us, that they may be one with us. And Lord, if we've faltered or failed in any way, thank you that you're a forgiving God. I pray for these here, Lord. You know their lives. You know their journeys. Lord, if comfort is needed, I ask you to comfort, to pick them up, to comfort their hearts, to guide them, to mend relationships, to erase the memories, to throw out the guilt, to dispose of the regret, to set them free, that they can have a loving relationship with the one you've called alongside of them. Lord, this is your hour, this is your time. Let us be your people, holy and acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as always, we're going to give an invitation. Time when I'm here to pray with you. I don't know what's going on. Maybe there's needs in your life. Maybe it has nothing to do with what I preached. Maybe it has something to do. I don't know. But this is time for you to respond to God. And now I'm just here to pray with you. I'm here to be with you. I'm here to journey. Whatever you want to pray about, this is your opportunity. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing, and you come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the glory and the honor.